CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I'm observing Ukraine. I've reported on Ukraine as it happened over these years, and Anatole Levin is here, who's written a paper for the Quincy Institute of Responsible Statecraft, of which he is a member, anticipating the conversation between the two presidents, President Biden and President Putin. And there are differences and misunderstandings between the two states for a century or more. However, right now, Ukraine, as Anatole presents, would be a large one to solve and a day's work. So we begin with April of 2021. The new president, Volodymyr Zelensky, has proposed a new Minsk. There's Minsk 1, dated to 2014. That did not hold because of combat. Minsk 2, dated to 2015. That is in place but not enforced, and it has codicils that are objectionable by Kiev and by Moscow. And so Minsk 3, I guess what we could imagine this would be, is proposed by Mr. Zelensky. And he wants to involve in the Minsk 3 negotiation the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. I believe Russia is not embracing that because the wry opinion is that Zelensky is bringing in the U.K. and U.S., and Canada as two extra votes for his side. What is it that would come from Minsk 3, Anatole? What is it that would come from Minsk 3 that would be fresh to the people of Donbass that would make them want to embrace this?
Well, only if Zelensky and the Ukrainian government makes a new offer of guaranteed autonomy with a sequence, of handing the Donbass back to Ukraine, that would guarantee that autonomy. But Zelensky has said nothing about that. The Ukrainian position on that remains what it has been for 6 years now, which is that basically the Donbass must come back and then we'll see. Well, that's not going to lead anywhere. I mean, you can add America, Canada, Britain, Timbuktu, Mexico, Bolivia. The Russians still won't agree to that. And frankly, unless the United States is prepared to go to war with Russia to drive Russia out of the Donbass, it's not going to happen. If the Ukrainians attack, they will be defeated. And America will not come to their aid, as it didn't come to Georgia's aid in 2008 and as it didn't come to Ukraine's aid in 2014. That's the bottom line. Russia will fight in the end to prevent, Ukraine simply reconquering the Donbass. Ukraine can't fight and the West won't.
In Minsk 2, there were four codicils that you explicate. Local government, cross-border trade, cross-border with Russia, that is, no blocked borders in order to get in and out of Donbass. See, because many of the people of the Donbass are so completely identified with Russia, they're married to Russians, and they go back and forth to their relatives, I understand. And also, a large number of those people have emigrated to Moscow or other Russian places waiting for to come back. That's a phenomenon we know worldwide after there's upset. A local militia must be empowered, and Kiev doesn't have veto power. Are those still agreeable to Kiev, or are those items to be negotiated by Kiev, or could Kiev accept all of those four today under Mr. Zelensky's proposal?
Well, Ukraine could accept them in principle. After all, it committed itself to the Minsk Agreement in principle. The problem is that there is massive opposition from Ukrainian nationalists to a solution along these lines. And Zelensky, as previous Ukrainian presidents, fears that if he made a settlement along these lines, there would actually be a nationalist revolt against him, because you have these nationalist militias that are very heavily armed in Ukraine. They've actually done a lot of fighting on the Ukrainian side in the Donbass. The only way of getting the government in Kiev to accept this is if the West, led by the United States, puts real pressure on them to do so. This has to involve really serious concessions by the Russian side as well, and notably the complete withdrawal of Russian forces from the Donbass, and the recognition of Ukrainian sovereignty over the Donbass. But it is, I'm afraid, true that the principal obstacle to a solution in recent years has been the Ukrainian side. And since we are the backers of the Ukrainian side, since Ukraine depends wholly on us, you know, for economic aid, for military support, and so on, it's really up to us to bring such pressure to bear. Now, the thing is, you see, that the Ukrainian nationalists are in some ways in a ridiculous position, because they say that if they grant autonomy to the Donbass within Ukraine, this will be used to block progress towards becoming members of NATO and the European Union. But on the other hand, of course, as long as the Donbass conflict continues, Ukraine will never be admitted to NATO and the European Union, you know, which cannot take in a country with an ongoing civil war. And on the third hand, if you see what I mean, if you did bring the Donbass back into Ukraine, simply centralized Ukraine, the resulting instability and repression would be such that this would also be an obstacle to Ukraine ever joining the West. And, of course, it would run a really serious risk of a new outbreak of fighting in the Donbass and a new Russian military intervention. And, you know, in 2014, the Russians stopped about halfway through the Donbass. I have had conversations in Moscow which have suggested to me that if there were a new full-scale war with Ukraine, the Russian army would not necessarily stop at the Donbass. It might go much further. Ukraine could lose a great deal more in those circumstances than it has lost so far. So I think it would be wise for the Ukrainians to remember that.
Crimea, I've mentioned it, but I've not addressed it directly. Is it your measure that Crimea cannot be, will not be part of these negotiations, and that whether Vladimir Putin is president or he has a successor, Crimea will remain a matter that Russia will not negotiate? It is Russia. Is that your opinion?
Yes. Russia has formally annexed Crimea. It's now part of the Russian Federation, according to Russian law, you know, backed by a local referendum with a huge majority. Of course, that's not recognized by the international community, not by the West, not by most of the United Nations. But that, you know, that is the fact. Nothing short of defeat in war will push Russia out of Crimea. So Crimea is lost. Now, that said, that does not exclude the possibility of a diplomatic compromise over Ukraine, over Crimea, between Russia and the West. And the contours of that, you know, I mean, this is the kind of obvious,
right,
practical solution, which of course, given practical politics, turns out to be impossible. But actually, it's perfectly obvious. We recognize Russian sovereignty over Crimea. They recognize the independence of
Kosovo. You're sounding like Solomon this morning, Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, in the run-up to the meetings between the two presidents about resolving the frozen conflict of Ukraine. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.